What do you got going on, Jerry? What'd you say?
Oh, well, you know, we're talking about little vacations and stuff. So next week, I promised all my grandkids that I'm going to take them to, when they're 15, to any country they want to go to. And my grandson, who's now 15, and next week we're actually going to England for pretty much a week. So I'm taking him out of school. We're going to Cornwall and London, but the real reason we're going is because he's a soccer aficionado and he wants to see Liverpool play Manchester City, which happens now on March 10th.
They moved it, right?
We have box tickets to that, and it only cost a little bit over a mortgage. You know, I had to extend my mortgage.
But, you know, Jerry, I remember you said that about the 15-year-old trip. Our family adopted that. So when my son turned 15, we took him to Paris, and that was his 15-year-old trip. We decided 9 was a domestic anywhere in the U.S., and 15 was the international. So
I like that. Yeah. I have one more grandchild, and she wants to go to Japan next year when she turns 15. So we'll see. Cool.
What inspires Japan?
She's into anime.
Oh, yes. I have one of those, too.
I have I'm getting educated on anime by my 13-year-old. She's going to be 14 next month. Child. And it's just, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that this was such a big deal among this generation.
Oh, yes.
Now I'm learning.
Yes, you know, it's in the Midwest, and if it made it to the Midwest, you know, it's pretty. My 11-year-old asked for katanas for his birthday last year, so, you know, that's how big it is. That not only are we watching it now, we would like real katanas. So he has a set now of katanas. That's safe. That's the kind of parenting we're sponsoring here.
I love it.
You got a lot to learn.
Be careful with the katanas, Jerry. All right. Well, we do have a fun topic today, RPO and SaaS. Are we ready to jump in?
We are.
All right. Here we go.
Welcome to the CXR Channel, our premier podcast for talent acquisition and talent management. Listen in as the CXR community discusses a wide range of topics focused on attracting, engaging, and retaining the best talent. We're glad you're here.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Recruiting Community Podcast, where we do weekly insights and updates in the form of a pretty simple conversation. Today's topic brings an impressive guest with us, and we're going to talk about the idea around this pending or ongoing convergence between RPOs and SaaS. If you don't already know who I am, my friends call me Rosencrantz, and there we go. We're going to let in my co-host, Gilderstein. How are you, Mr. Gilderstein?
Wonderful, Rosencrantz. Just wonderful.
We're completely interchangeable, and we stumble through this. I figured it was fitting today. In case anybody's not looking Hamlet, that up. I'm not entirely sure how that goes. We're bringing class to the podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, a couple of quick things. If you have joined us today and we're live streaming, you can catch the stream on the YouTube, the Facebook. But if you're on the LinkedIn, there is a chat window there. So you can say hello to our guests. You can say hello to each other. We encourage a little side back channel chatter. If you've got questions and we catch those, we're going to try to put those on there. If we miss them, we will come back to the comments periodically and make sure that we follow up with everybody. I want to remind everybody, too, that the podcast today is certainly a labor of love. So this is ad-free. So when we get on here and we talk or we invite people in, they didn't pay to be here. They're here because they're doing something exciting or they have an opinion that we want to shine a little bit of a light on. Jerry, is there anything we should talk about? Is there anything we should do our own little pay the piper, little ad space before we
welcome our guests back? I don't know. You've got that survey going that's talking a little bit about the future. So I like that.
We do. We're doing our second quarterly bit of research. Folks can check that out. And you can actually participate. There's a little pop-up survey that comes up on the website. You can contribute your own insights to that. But we're talking about the balance of technology and touch within talent acquisition. So definitely think that is worth a look. We have about 50 TA professionals that are in that panel that we have put together. We've got a couple of co-facilitators. One is with us from Cielo, of course, one with us from AppCast, who are helping kind of with those conversations and nudge those conversations and talk a little about it. And it is an interesting, we've done three of the four blog posts before we published the paper in April.
It's great.
Yeah.
We're also about to launch a little conversation around conflict of interest and how we disclose that in our industry. So if anybody just wants to know more, they can, you know, they can get in touch as well.
Just disclosure and conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Transparency. We're all about the see-through stuff. We're good. Okay. All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and welcome in our guest. Let's see if we can pull her out of the green room. There she is. Marissa, welcome back.
Hi. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's good to see you. I could do an hour just talking about Jerry's trips and glamping. I know we do have a topic to go through, but it was fun.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So look, Marissa, why don't you go ahead and give us, before we jump in, because I think this is a really interesting topic, but why don't you kind of give us a little bit of an escalator pitch on who is Marissa, a little bit of a background, and why should we be paying attention to what you have to say today?
Okay, well, that's a big ask and a little elevator pitch, but yeah. I am Marissa Geist. I'm about a 20-year veteran of the HR space. I have spent my career in talent acquisition, talent management, and currently I am the CEO of Cielo, which is the world's leading talent acquisition partner. So we help companies attract the best talent, their unfair share of talent all around the world through technology, through our great teams, through our great programs. So really interested to talk today about the fact that we're talking about this concept of TA, tech-enabled TA, and I think that that's a redundant statement. I think that in the future, TA is just going to be TA, and tech has to be such an integral part of it that we've artificially divorced these two topics, and they're organically fighting to come back to each other. So how do we see TA and tech really merging? And that really affects the players in the SaaS space and where I'm sitting in the services space.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's a ton of advantages when we talk about SaaS and RPO, but let's, for people who are jumping in, can you kind of unpack, I guess, the idea of that convergence with SaaS and RPO, like defining, I guess, maybe for those who've dialed in or maybe they're chugging along on the treadmill, why is it so significant right now with those two things sort of coming together and becoming interwoven?
Sure. So the way that I see the world is it's on a spectrum of we had two predominant forces in TA. We had service providers and like the old branch model or staffing model, executive search models. And then we had technology that was doing some cool things, but neither one of them really met the need for permanent hiring for the strategic talent acquisition function. So out of those two sides of the spectrum, we had two different solutions come into that middle space of unmet need. From the provider perspective, we created RPO, recruitment process outsourcing, because we said, you know what, we know how to provide services, we'll put some technology in, but it's a primarily services first view, experience first view of what permanent recruiting and talent acquisition could do. On the tech side, we saw them spawn up SaaS. So really a tech forward kind of services layer on top of tech. And we sat pretty far apart from each other in the beginning of this industry, maybe 20 years ago. And if you wanted technology, you really had to, if you wanted to work with a SaaS provider, you really had to know what you were doing. You might have bought some expensive SaaS and it didn't really work out. So you kind of, you know, we always called it the graveyard of SaaS purchases. And on the RPO side, we had people saying, I really like what you're doing. I don't know if I want to give up all that control though, because my talent is core to my business. And when you say outsourcing talent strategy, it makes me freak out. And so we have this like in between the two of us where SaaS wasn't bringing all the outcomes, they weren't going all the way, and RPO, you know, continues to have good service, but it wasn't exactly meeting the talent strategy where it was at. And then over the last 5 years, there's so much improvement on both sides that we keep growing closer and closer. So what we do every day requires so much technology, so much integration that we are now actually creating our own technology. And the technologists are saying, do we want to be in the services business? Because we kind of have to be if we're going to make our tech work. And some of them are jumping back to say, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. And they're saying, can somebody pick up this space? So the closer we get, the better the tech gets, the smarter the TA leaders get, the more it's just like, hey, I don't care what you call yourself. Just give me your capabilities and let me play with them and let me make them work for me. So that's how I think about it.
I love that. Is there a specific opportunity you could see sort of emerging for businesses from this blend? Like what would be like a today, right? And you're seeing this come up. So now practically, what kind of real world impact do you think that they can expect on how an organization attracts and manages the talent?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we're in, you know, we had the great resignation. Now we're in what I'm thinking of in my own head is the great hesitation. No one's hiring, no one's firing. People are nervous to leave their jobs. So actually this lull in this great hesitation really gives us a chance to experiment and play around a bit. So when I think about, you might have a great partner and you might have a great set of partners. It's time to be more flexible in thinking and saying, hey, look, can we break apart what we've done? Maybe you have an HRIS and an ATS that are glued together, but you've got some point solutions sitting over on the side. This is the time and the moment when we're not under artificial strain of such high volumes we've seen and such crazy pace over the last 2 years. It's time to break some stuff and put it back together. And your partners are probably pretty willing to do that because they've also got the time and the space to see what's going to happen. I think we're creating the future right now, whether we know it or not. The next uplift is going to see some really cool innovation. So ask, don't think that you're limited to the way you bought even a year ago. Your talent providers are thinking different things and seeing some kind of cool creativity in this downtime.
What I love about what you're talking about, Marissa, for me, you're really talking about this kind of convergence from all these different perspectives, if you will, about what recruiting is and can be, and the impact of the shift in technology, the improvement in terms of new ways of thinking about the services that we can provide to employers, I think really is beginning to come together. The two things that I'm curious about from your perspective, when you made a point of saying a couple times about permanent work, mm-hmm. And yet the kind of workforce planning that is going on today in most employers is now kind of breaking the barriers, if you will, of what is the class of worker and looking at fractional kinds of work, looking at contingent, different approaches to contingent, part-time, as well as full-time. And that's just in the United States, let alone the complexity across the world about class of worker. Do you see the ability to be able to advise corporations as becoming more and more critical in terms of how they think or rethink about recruiting, not just the classes of worker that they use, but just how we're going to go about doing this?
It's really fascinating because, you know, the role of the employer has changed, will change. I have a almost 21-year-old son, and how he thinks about what work's going to mean to him is totally different. So I don't think he even cares what class of worker he is. He said this, you know, this is how work is going to fit into, I'm going to work hard, but it's not my identity. It's not how I fit into life. And I think, you know, seeing the announcement today about Workday and Hired Scored, really getting that essential, you know, how do we even see the people that work for us today? You know, that's regardless of class of worker, what talent do we have sitting in our own ecosystem? I think everyone's trying to be as flexible as you can be to prepare for the future, because it's not the employer that's redefining how we think about work. It's the person that shows up and brings you their talent. So yes, those systems and, you know, the way you attract talent doesn't matter what kind of worker classification your tax ID is. You know, you still need people's hearts and minds to come and show up to you today, whether they work for you for 3 hours a day or 10 hours a day or 10 hours a month. And so I think most of the technology now is old ways of working and old classifications. And I think that's the kind of stuff now where the really expansive TA leaders will not be stuck in those old molds. They'll say, here are the four capabilities I see that we need to repurpose. Like, how are you going to come with me on this journey? Not how do I retrofit my aspiration into something that was designed for 1996, 1099.
Right. Or even fit into the solutions providers who call themselves staffing companies, yes, or RPO companies or consulting companies or all of these different spots that are out there, it seems to me that they're converging as well. And I see that in Cielo.
Yep, we definitely have made a conscious effort to be simpler to work with, because you could wrap yourself around 17 different solutions that you need to string together to right. make something happen. When we built our tech stack, I'll say this to anyone, if there was something that I could have bought off the shelf to really enable our services, I would have, because, you know, putting technology together that was never designed to really work in the way that you needed to work in the real world is tough work. And I think that's something when you're a TA leader, that's a daunting task to think about. And now with the introduction of AI, it's like, how am I supposed to think about all these things? What's good? What's not good? I think that this company could be great at this, but they say they don't do it. I think there's a lot of mismatch right now of what's sitting on the table that's available mm-hmm. for use, and a lot of fear about, can I pick it up and use it for this or that? And I think, you know, we'll see some real cool innovation by the braver folks, but you also have to have the support of your IT department, your legal department, because this is touching way more of your company than it did 10 years ago.
Yeah, Marissa, are you seeing, so we've talked about return to office. We've talked about hybrid work and that flexibility. We've talked about talent organizations way over hiring and trying to recover from that. And it sort of seems like we came out of a year that was labeled for transformation. Right? Or this evolutionary year that, you know, we were all trying to lean on and adjust from. And I feel like now we're moving into a year that's a little bit more about flexibility, a little bit more about sort of an optimization of all relationships. And I have to think that that is particularly true for an RPO, especially one who's so tech savvy, that shift of strategy around being able to flex, right? Shifting the burden of the staffing infrastructure, shifting the burden of, you know, a lot of the day-to-day type of stuff in the recruiting strategy onto a partner, allowing the organization ideally to be more strategic. Are you seeing sort of the same? I mean, your boots on the ground in that world, are you seeing sort of the same thing that folks are, the flexibility isn't just about hybrid work, it's now about so much bigger, it's kind of infiltrated into sort of every pore of what should be a TA strategy?
Yes. And I think everyone's wrestling with how that fits with their company culture, because, you know, everyone kind of sees the promised land of flexible working and thinks that's what I want to go. We saw twice as many applications for anything that says remote on it than non-remote. So certainly that's the desire of folks. But then they also say in the job interview, they're asking, but is there a place where I can go to get the work community? So you want the workforce is asking for the best of both worlds. How do you manage that? How do you hire for it? How do you set appropriate expectations? Really, it's a really interesting like thread to pull through. At the same time, we've seen, you know, the Indeed came out with their latest stats that show in the US, remote only jobs are actually on the decline in their postings. So the hybrid job is the one that is growing the fastest. So we know that struggle is, or that debate is real. And certainly we've seen people now where they're saying, okay, enough of that, come back to work. That affects your employee value proposition. It affects the type of talent. It affects how inclusive you can be in your hiring practices. One of our consultancy partners, Alex Partners, great firm, helped us with a lot of work client facing and an internal transformation. They're a very traditional consulting firm. And the fact that you don't have to get on a plane on Sunday and come home on Thursday as a management consultant now actually allowed people with young children to stay on that path. It allowed for more women women in the workplace. And so, you know, when you think about return to office isn't, yes, it's a real estate policy, but it's really going to set the tone for who can work at your company? How can you attract people? And that goes back to that, what's the role of work in people's lives? You know, how you can fit into the way people are thinking about what work looks like for them. It should be a conscious choice. Don't let it sort of evolve out of some, you know, the lowest level of you know, HR policy. It should be something that you actually craft and then build the policy around. And then again, your providers come with you on that journey.
And that choice has to be part of what the employee has, you know, it contributes to. If they're not participating in that, it's an important issue. And that's why I think a lot of the leadership needs to relearn how to listen to their new employees, their old employees, whatever, about how those needs need to be met.
I think that's what gets, that's a lot of the front end press when we talk about flexibility, right? But I think also there's got to be an element of, you know, we've talked to a couple of leaders who pre-pandemic would not have considered an RPO to save their own life. Like, just wasn't on the table for them, or they'd been burned before, et cetera, but who have now come back and said, we got caught up in the overhiring. We got caught up in, you know, having to flex, you know, trying to flex a workforce that we had built to be inflexible, and we're struggling. And so now they're saying, well, who would be a new age partner? What would be a new partnership? What would that look like in a world of flexibility? And I just think that element of, it's not just folks coming into work 3 days a week or sort of adjusting that, but I think that level of flexibility now demanded, with all the lumps we took, right, as an industry, just in the recruiting industry in the last 2 years, I think that's got to be present at every level, that flexibility, that desire for flexibility.
We're seeing a change. We have kind of half and half buyers, and this is not companies. These are individuals, because humans buy services, not whole companies, right? Half of the TA leaders we talk with are buyers, and half of them are builders. And I think that half builders is actually where we're getting a lot of our inspiration from. So buyers have been more the traditional RPO buyer that would say, you know, I'm comfortable giving away the outcome. I'm comfortable giving away more of the, you know, more of the processing, more of an arm's length relationship. And that other side, the builders, have never been comfortable with that. But like you said, the budgets, the pace, the everything kind of ate everybody alive when we were coming back out of the pandemic. That was just, it was a hold on for a very bump. On the back end, they're seeing, you know, I don't want, it's still terrifying language to those builders to say, I'm an outsourcer, because that's not what I want. But I do want some of the capabilities, and I want to understand how you do it. And I want to take what I want out of that and build a new talent program. And really, actually, we're challenging a little bit more like the builders to say, let's not assume that what was fit for purpose 10 years ago is going to work today, or 5 years ago even. So we're doing a lot of that. Forget what we call it. Forget how we package it. Here's the capabilities we offer. What's your strategy? And how can we help you be more flexible up and down? Because certainly we're investing millions of dollars every year to do our jobs better. Probably not going to have that same level of investment in a corporate environment, or you might not get the IT policy release. And so let's help you bring AI safely into your workforce, because we've done the hard work. But they're saying, yeah, I want that, but not, I don't, as it generally stands. So more flexibility, less hacking off and giving away, because talent's still core.
It's an issue of burden reduction, right? Because what ultimately a really, you know, a SaaS savvy RPO partner or business partners, you're eliminating the tech race, right? So they're outsourcing to stay current on latest tools, because it's not easy for organizations, even big ones, but primarily smaller and mid-sized, they struggle, I think, to keep pace with HR technology. It seems like, you know, every week there's a new HR tech we should be checking out, or a new TA technology solution we've been looking into. I think that in that model that you're talking about, I think what you're saying too is that the RPOs, you know, powered by SaaS, essentially sort of take on that burden, or a big piece of that burden.
We do. And actually, we work a lot with the SaaS providers, and we end up being super users of their tools. So we're on the advisory committees. We're on the, you know, it's like, don't try this at home kind of stuff, where it's just like, let's break it, put it back together. So, you know, when you just have that kind of intimacy with the product, or, you know, and really know the people that are going to be good partners versus the ones that are more a shiny front end and a little more glue, a little more MacGyver on the back end, it could be great to say, like, this is going to be a great technology in 5 years. If you need something immediately, this is maybe a better thing. So we do a lot of the test kitchen stuff. And I think that's just the time and the focus. Like, that's not what's going to bring great talent into your business. What's going to bring great talent in your business is the right attraction strategy, the magnetism that you have in the marketplace, the execution, the showcasing of your leaders. It isn't the experimentation that we do on the back end. So that's where we're saying, let's help you with that. And then once you do it, we do it ongoing. We're obsessed with it. So we keep you current, and you don't have to keep implementing, re-implementing, convincing your recruiters why this is the next best thing. We know how to work with the tools, and we kind of plug into your strategy. So that's where we've been seeing a lot of benefit, and hope that people understand that's what we're eager to bring. And doesn't mean you have to say, I don't own my own recruiting process now. Certainly not that.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You're essentially delivering a little bit of a glamping experience. I'm going to bring us all the way back around, but the glamping experience versus the tent camping experience.
That's good. Yes. I do like us to be a high-end glamping experience. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that works. Well, look, Marissa, anybody who wants to learn more about this, is there a reference or a podcast or somewhere you would send folks to sort of kind of dig in if they are a builder and that phrase does scare them, or they've just got no experience in that space? Because we are seeing a change in tenure. We're seeing a shift in tenure and agents that are coming in and professionals that are coming in within the TA space in the last couple of years. So where do they go? Where do they go to learn a little bit?
Well, I always think that anything by Josh Burson is really sort of illuminatory. So have them go to the Burson website and understand kind of what's sitting out there. We have on our own website just sort of an inventory of capabilities as well as providers out there to showcase, you know, what do you use folks from? I have to give a shout out to Elaine Orler, who is on our website and is also one of the sentient, I think, HR tech gurus in the industry. She always says that she'll have some intellectual generosity if you'd like to have a conversation. So I think if you hit up the CLO Talent website, you'll be able to see kind of what's out there, who are the people that we talk to. But certainly Everest, Josh Burson, there's a lot of good resources out there.
I love it. Well, look, we asked this of all our guests before we let them off the hook. Marissa, if you were going to write a book today about this topic, what would the title of that book be?
Title of the book about this topic. I would say, so there aren't flying cars, because I think about the Back to the Future predictions, like the stuff we thought was going to be really important, just like still no flying cars.
Where's I love that.
Yeah. Where's my flying car?
Where's
I really
my
do
flying
love
car?
It.
Yep.
All right. So present company excluded. This is the curveball. Who gets the first signed copy of where are the flying cars?
I would have to say, I would give it to my former CEO and founder of Cielo, which is Sue Marks, because she was the one that really challenged me to always say, to really think outside the box. And she drives like a bat out of hell. So if anyone's going to have a flying car or not have a flying car, it might be Sue Marks, depending on which bend you are taking. But yes, if you drive with her.
I love Sue. Yeah. I love Sue. And that fun fact does not surprise me even a little.
She's the best cars too. She's really amazing cars. So if she got her car to fly, look out world, that would be something.
Very cool.
That's great. Well, look, Marissa, we know you're super duper busy. We're so, so grateful for you cutting some time out to share a little bit with us. We always enjoy a good conversation with you. We do this sooner rather than later again.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
Oh.
Did Chris freeze?
I think Chris froze up.
Okay. He's beclumped with emotion.
Challenge.
Come on back, Chris.
There we go. I think it lost me for a second. Am I back?
Your voice is back.
Oh, there you are. You moved. But then froze again.
I think so. No.
All right. It says it's reconnecting, but that's okay. All right. I was just telling everybody, cxr.org/podcast. They can watch the full recording of this. Maybe we'll cut out the technical challenge. And they can go ahead and see future and past episodes there as well. Until then, we'll see everybody next week. Thanks again, Marissa.
Thanks. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the CXR channel. Please subscribe to CXR on your favorite podcast resource and leave us a review while you're at it. Learn more about CXR at our website, cxr.works, facebook.com and twitter.com/careercrossroads, and on Instagram @careerxroads. We'll catch you next time.